How do you see an invisible spirit? Do you have to have special vision? Special glasses? Well, no, not really. Invisible spirits manifest themselves. How do they do that? In actuality, they act and speak through people like you and me. Mostly, it is not by acting and speaking directly that we see the invisible spirits of God and of the Antichrist. And those are the two main spirits that the Apostle John is talking about in this particular passage of Scripture, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. But we see these invisible spirits as they act upon individuals, and we see the results of what they do. And it's really an amazing thing when that takes place, because they act upon the human spirit. And that's the other spirit, I think, that John has reference to in our text this morning. The divine spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, and human spirits. And so as we get into this particular text this morning, I want to talk a little bit about what I believe to be the human makeup as we see it from Scripture, and then see how it is that we really understand if indeed we are renewed people. What are the evidences that John gives us from this particular text? Again, John exhorts us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You see that the Apostle John talks about the Spirit of God. He does this in verse 2. We better read that, hadn't we? "By this you know the Spirit of God." He talks about the Spirit of God. And then he talks about every spirit, other spirits. And I think that what he means by these words, every spirit, what he means there is the human spirit. Because in verse 1, he talks about many false prophets having gone out into the world. And so, again, what I'd like to do is zero in for a moment on the human makeup. What is a human being according to the Bible? A human being according to the teaching of the Bible is a being which has a body and a spirit, a body and a soul. Now, I'm one of those people who believes that in the Bible, the spirit and the soul, those two words are used interchangeably, that we are spirit beings with bodies. We have souls. Angels are spirit beings. They don't have bodies. Animals have bodies, but they do not have souls or spirits. Now, to help us in our understanding here, I'd like us to look at several other scriptures. And if you keep your finger there in 1 John, I want to look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, first of all. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, where the Lord Jesus speaks about us as individuals. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." In other words, what are we? We are creatures of God, created by God in His image, and we have bodies. Just have to look at ourselves to understand that. And we have souls, or spirits. Now, there are some who hold that we are tripartite, that we have bodies, souls, and spirits. Well, I'm saying that the soul and the spirit are actually the same thing. And that's one reason I refer you to this particular text, and I'd like you to join with that, 1 Corinthians 5:5. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:5. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul says, "I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Notice that he doesn't say soul here. He could have, I believe. But I think he's referring to the same thing. He wants the spirit or the soul to be saved. And in popular parlance, we talk about souls being saved. Well, that's correct, I believe. But the soul or the spirit are actually the same thing. Maybe we better look at another pair of scriptures here just to confirm this. 1 Peter 3:19. 1 Peter 3:19. Yeah, I know, I'm having you jump around again. 1 Peter 3:19. I'm trying to show you that the word soul and the word spirit are used interchangeably here. 1 Peter 3:19, "In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." In other words, the disembodied spirits, the souls of those who are now departed. Let's compare with that Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. Kind of interesting. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, the Apostle John says, "And I heard as it were," well, verse 9, I better not read verse 6. "And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained." In other words, what we're talking about here are individuals, people who had been slain and now their souls or their spirits were in glory. You see, my friends, we are body, soul, body, spirit beings. Now, I'm laboring this point. I recognize that. And as you go back to 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3, I want you to keep in mind what we're saying here. 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." How do we know if we are beings with bodies and spirits, that we have spirits? Get this now, that we have spirits that have come from God. What does it mean to have a spirit that has come from God? Well, that's a legitimate question. I'll tell you what it means to have a spirit that has come from God. It means you're born again. It means that you've been given a new spirit. That you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Wasn't this the promise of the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel? Or God speaking through Ezekiel said, I will put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Dear friends, one of the wonderful things that it means to be a Christian is that we have been given new spirits by God. That we have literally been recreated by the living God. And that we have spirits that have come from God. You know, we have this thing abroad in the church today where we talk about God working through us. And there's some legitimacy to that. But somehow we've gotten the picture that when we talk about God working through us, what we mean is that the old Denny is still there, and it's important that I be just like a channel through which God operates, and when you see something good happening, it's not Denny that's working at all or doing anything. It's God. But the biblical picture is a little bit different. The biblical picture is a wonderful picture where God changes us. Where God recreates us. Where God puts a new spirit within us. I want you to see how the Apostle Paul speaks about this in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Do you remember the story of when Lazarus was called out of the grave by Jesus Christ? That dead man had to be recreated, had to be given new life. And that's the picture that Paul paints for us. That we are recreated, we are given new life by Jesus Christ. Drop down, if you would, to verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are His workmanship. You see that? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Here's the important thing for you to see and for me to see, dear friends. That we do not remain the same person when we become a Christian. That we are literally recreated by God. We're given new hearts. And we're given new spirits. We're born of God. What a tremendous thing that is. I want you to go back to 1 John chapter 4 now. 1 John chapter 4. How do we tell? How do we tell if we are really people who are of God? Let's read these first three verses again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming into the world, and now it is already in the world. How do we tell if we have spirits, literally, that are born of God, that have come from God? By the confession we make. By the confession we make. What is your confession? The confession that John speaks of here is a confession that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And this is a confession in the incarnation. A confession that the second person of the Trinity became a man. It's really interesting that the Apostle John is speaking into a situation against a heresy called Gnosticism. And you know what these Gnostics believed? They believed that Jesus Christ was a mere human creature, and that a divine spirit possessed this human Jesus Christ and made him what he was in this world. And then before the crucifixion, this divine spirit departed from this Jesus Christ, so the person who died on the cross was a mere man. They did not believe that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, became flesh and was in fact God with us. They didn't believe that. They didn't believe that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he was in fact, as Paul says, the Lord of glory. They didn't believe that. It's interesting, a lot of people don't believe that today. But that's part of the confession. That we really believe that the second person of the Godhead became flesh. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this means also that part of the confession is that we're Trinitarian. Now, I've talked about this before, but to really be a Christian, you have to believe in the Trinity. In God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a deplorable thing in our age that the cults, creeping in as they are trying to pretend to be evangelical and Bible-believing. The Mormons, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was God and is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was God and is God. Part of the confession is that we really believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And part of the confession, too, in believing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, part of that confession is believing in this sacrifice. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus Christ came into the world to die on a cross, to take upon Himself the wrath of God for sin. Thank God that that's the case. Do you believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? And do you trust in this Jesus Christ as the one who has paid the penalty due to you for your sins? What a wonder that is. That's part of the confession. Let's look at 1 John 4 again. Look at verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Do you have a spirit that has been renewed and has been born of God, that has come from God? What's one of the ways you can tell? By the confession that you make. That you really believe that this Jesus came in the flesh. That He was and is the second person of the Trinity, and He died for sinners like us. Look at verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. A spirit which has not been renewed by God is not going to make this kind of confession we've talked about. Now, to put this into context, I want you to turn back to chapter 5 and verse 13. I should have done this a little bit earlier. Again, the purpose of John's writing this book. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Why has John written this letter? He's written this letter to people like you and me so that we can know if we have eternal life. And what's one of the ways we can know? By the confession we make. And that can tell us whether or not our spirits have been renewed. Praise God that that's the case. John gives us a second evidence in chapter 4. I want you to look at verses 4, 5, and 6 in chapter 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. The person who has a renewed spirit and also has the Spirit of God within him or her has a powerful spirit present. Such a person need not be intimidated. Need not be intimidated by what others say. By what people say in the world. And so don't be intimidated. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, what's the evidence here of Christianity? Fellowship. Look at verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Who do people in the world have fellowship with? Other people in the world. And they go to the tavern, they go to the saloon, they go to the R-rated movies. They listen to those things. They're accepted in those circles. They do those sort of things. Look at verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. There's a particular kind of fellowship among those who have renewed spirits. They gravitate to one another. They love to talk about the things of the Bible. They love to listen to the exposition of the Scriptures and talk about those things. They love to be challenged by the Word of God. They talk about spiritual things. And when they talk about spiritual things, those who have renewed spirits listen. And it's a wonderful thing. I really think it is. When, after our time of worship, for instance, the renewed spirits of the saints just fellowship with one another, talk with one another, embrace one another. What an evidence. What an evidence of Christianity. Look at the end of verse 6. By this, John says, by this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. You see, once again, what John is doing is laying out for us evidences of what it means to be a Christian. And so we can look at ourselves. And that's what we're to do, first of all, right? We're to look at ourselves, not so much look at others, but look at ourselves. And in this context, each one of us can ask the question, what is my confession? Is it the confession of Jesus Christ that comes out of Scripture? If that's true, then that's evidence that I belong to God. Hallelujah. Where do I find my fellowship? Is it among God's people? When we talk together, is there that special fellowship and communion? That's evidence that I belong to God. Hallelujah. Where are you this morning? Are the evidences building up in your life that you are of God?